You may be seated. We've been studying the supernatural fruit of the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit. And tonight we want to talk about this fruit called faith. Faith is a many splendid thing. Faith has an awful lot of aspects about it. And that's what I want to look at tonight is the elements of faith. If you look on your screen, you can say it with me. We've been studying the supernatural fruit. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit, let's say it together. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. In other words, there's no law in heaven, in earth, or anywhere that says you can't have all these fruit that you want. But tonight we want to look at this word, faith, the fruit of faith. Our English word for faith comes from a Greek word that means faithfulness and loyalty. So faith is a spiritual operation within us. Faith is not an operation of the human mind. It is not a mental function. It is a spiritual operation. Amen. So we want to look at some different aspects of faith. But faith is the foundation for our salvation. We're saved by faith. We come to know God by faith. Look at Ephesians 2 and 8. It says, for by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourself, it is the gift of God. So God gave every person in here that's ever been born again, he gave you the faith to be saved. That's natural faith, but we're not talking about that. We're talking about a supernatural faith that comes from God, that comes from him so you can know him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. But for by grace, the Bible says, you are saved through faith, that not of yourself, it is a gift of God. Not only are we saved by faith, but we receive the supernatural gifts of the Spirit through faith. One of the nine supernatural gifts is faith. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, it lists the supernatural manifestations of the Holy Ghost, and there are three power gifts. One of them is faith. That's a power gift. This is a faith beyond your faith. This is a faith where when this faith of the Spirit operates, you literally switch over into the faith of God. You're using Jesus' faith to accomplish things in. It's a wonderful dynamic thing. And then another power gifts, the gifts of miracles and the gifts of healing. They're power gifts. But the faith that we're looking at tonight is how do you build this thing called faith? See, the gift of faith, it is different from the kind of faith where we're saved by. So there's so many aspects. See, and then faith, of course, is a part of the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace. Those first three, they're outward toward God or upward toward God. I like the way Pastor Ricky said that. They're upward toward God. Love, joy, peace. We love God. God is love. But he first loved us. Long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, those next three, they are toward your fellow man. We're not long-suffering with God. God is long-suffering with us. God is gentle with us. God is good with us. Amen. And then faith, meekness, and temperance, they're toward the inner man, the hidden man of the heart, the new man, the recreated man, and these things help us to grow in God. But because God is a God of faith, God believes and God trusts, and therefore he has a right to expect faith in our lives. God is a God of faith. He just said, let that be, and boom, that was. And then he left a church there, and he had faith that they would carry on his work. That, and today we're sitting in church because God had faith in man. Jesus went back to heaven, sent the Holy Spirit to empower his church, and down through the ages for 2,000 years now, people have been coming into the kingdom of God, been washed in the blood, cleansed from all their sin, and coming to know God by this thing we call faith. What a wonderful God. But faith is a life that is lived. That's what I want you to see. Faith is not just an event. Faith is a life that is lived. Faith is a deed that is done. And we must walk and we must live by faith if we're to please God. Hebrews 11:6 says, but without faith, put Hebrews 11:6 up there. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. He that cometh to God must believe that he is. So the first element of faith is you've got to believe in an unseen, invisible God. You must believe that he is, and you must believe that he's a good God, and that he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. So God is a rewarder. God is a great God. And I enjoyed preaching that sermon Sunday morning on the blessings of Abraham. And the one before that, I've got another one I'm working on. The one before that was on diligent dads, but I used the Abraham as an example, showing that what he did in his life, how he became this great man of faith. And if we're going to emulate anyone in the Bible other than Jesus, it should be this man called Abraham and what he achieved by his faith. I'm working on a sermon right now, The Keys to the Blessings of Abraham. I might even call it The Key. And the key, wouldn't you like to have the key to the blessings of Abraham? Keys unlock doors. You just turn that key in there, and all of a sudden you're in God's treasury, getting great things from God. But faith is a wonderful thing. God does not want it to be just an incident, as I said. He wants faith to be a way of life for his church. Look at Galatians 5 and 6. For in Jesus Christ, neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. I want you to see that. Faith works by love. He is not a Jew which is one outwardly. Circumcision is not in the flesh as it was in the Old Testament. Circumcision is of the heart. And when the Holy Ghost convicts a person of their sin and they come to God through faith, the Holy Ghost applies the blood of Jesus and that heart is circumcised and that person is made clean, that person is made whole by the precious blood of the Lamb. So faith works by love. And you cannot operate in faith if you're not going to operate in love. It's an impossibility. Oh, you might have gifts for a while, but they won't work very long. No. You've got to love people. Hallelujah. There are people who would like to have faith in order to do the unusual, but they don't want to walk in love. What I'm talking about is fruit. God is looking for fruit. Amen. Faith is a life that is lived. Do you see that? That cluster right there. You would say, the Bible says, the wine is in the cluster. We would say, well, the wine is in the bottle. No, the wine is in the cluster. The joy of the Lord comes from fellowship with the body of Christ. John said, these things write we unto you that you might have fellowship with us. Truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. These things write we unto you that your joy might be full. So God wants us to be full of joy. Amen. But this thing called faith, it will not work because the total nature of God must be within us. If we're going to operate in faith, we must operate in love. And God is love. You cannot have a part of God's nature. We need all of it. Amen. Love, joy, peace. I gave you a handout. And there are nine fruit of the Spirit. They all taste of love. Love is the juice that flows to all the other fruit. Love. Joy is love with happiness. Peace is love in total relaxation. Long suffering is love under fiery trials. People will try you at times. Amen. Gentleness is love when all the roughness is gone. Goodness is love shown toward others. Faith is love in trusting obedience toward God. Meekness is love with humility. And temperance is love with self-control. What good would it be for someone to say, I love you, and the next thing you know, they just fly off the handle with their temper, and they can't control themselves. So the fruit of the Spirit is the fruit of the Holy Spirit as it is developed and you mature in God, in the human spirit. As we learn these things from God, we have to learn to walk in the Spirit. Amen. But there are people who want faith to work miracles, but they don't want to be bothered with compassion and with pity. Amen. But if you're going to operate in the gifts of the Spirit, you must bear the fruit of the Spirit. And the Bible tells us that faith works by love. Point number two, how do we get this faith? How do we get this thing that I'm talking about? I told you that it's a gift from God. Well, that's one of the ways you get it. God convicts you of your sin, and then he gives you the faith to believe. Because we're talking about getting in a spiritual dimension. We're not talking about coming to church and saying a few words and turning over a new leaf. No, we're talking about a life that is transformed by the power of God. And it takes the blood of Jesus to cleanse us from all sin. Maybe you got saved and you're struggling with some things. Nothing is ever born clean. Not a dog, not a horse, not a cow, not a baby, and not a soul. If you've been born again by God's Spirit, you're struggling with some things. And that's because you're a newborn babe in Christ. And you need to come to church. There's a second definite work of grace called sanctification. You can call it the second blessing. You can call it consecration. You can call it by many names. But what it is the crucifixion of the old man, where we, just like this coat I'm wearing, we just take the old man and we take him off. The old man is crucified with his lust and his affections. Amen. And we put on the new man, which is created in righteousness and peace and holiness. Amen. And then we begin to bear these fruits. So we got to put off some things. And then we got to put on some things. And that's what faith helps you do. We're living this life. It's not just an incident that occurred when we went to an altar, but it's a life that we begin to live and we begin to grow and mature in God. So how do we get this faith? Well, first of all, we get it as we hear the word of God. If your natural man is going to grow, he must have a source of nutrition. We must have food and exercise and sleep to help the natural man to grow. Amen. Likewise, the spirit man, if he's going to grow, he's got to have some spiritual food. He's got to have something that causes him prayer. Sometimes you just have to fast and pray. Now, study of the word. But all of this helps the spirit man grow. The Bible says what we are to feed our faith. Look at Romans 10:17. It says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Tonight you're here, and your faith is being fed. But I get to preach it, and so I get a double dose of it. I get to speak it to you, and then I get to hear it, and it comes right back to me to increase my faith. That's why I love to preach the word. It feeds my faith. I love to preach and teach because it feeds your faith. Amen. And I need to receive just like you do. No one has arrived. We have to continually hear the word and grow in grace and knowledge. It is the word of faith which we preach, and faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Sometimes it does us good to read the Bible out loud. We need to hear the word spoken. How do we get this thing called faith? Well, you got to feed your faith. You got to starve your doubts to death. And there's a battle going on in your mind, in my mind all the time. But God wants us to speak out loud the words, because when we speak the word out loud, something supernatural happens within us. A lot of times when I'm doing my daily Bible reading, I like to listen to someone else read it, and I'll read along with them. Sometimes I read it out loud. When I do that, I'm using 3 learning tools. My wife, she tells me, go in the other room or put some earplugs in. She's trying to read hers, and I'm doing mine. And we're reading the word, but we're in different places most of the time. Amen. But as we feed on God's exceeding great and precious promises and speak them out loud, when we hear these promises, it produces faith in our heart. So faith, it's produced when we read the Bible and we hear the testimonies and the stories in the Bible. Hearing a good testimony that a brother or sister that you know has been going through a trial, and finally their faith prevails and they get the blessing from God, that will feed your faith, because faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. And it does us good to hear testimony. Look at what John said in John 20, verse 30. He said, and many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in his book. He said, if I wrote them all, the books in the world couldn't contain it. He said, but these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. So how do we get this faith I'm talking about? The things that are written in the 4 Gospels, they are placed there for our edification. They are placed there to create faith in our hearts. And when we read them and when we believe them, then something supernatural happens. It's a tremendous mystery how you could hear the word of God, you come to church, you're a sinner. And while the stain of sin is still on your breath, you say, I believe in my heart Jesus died on the cross. I believe he took my sins. I believe he bore them off at Calvary. I believe he died in my place. I believe that in my heart, and I confess with my mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord. And while the stench of sin is still on your breath, the Holy Ghost transforms your life. You come out of darkness into the marvelous light simply because of this thing called faith. And all of a sudden you say, woo, I'm saved. Hallelujah. God is real. He's real in my heart. He's real in my life. And you begin this journey that we call faith. Faith is a wonderful thing. Go on, praise God for the faith he's given you. Amen. Hallelujah. But every time I preach and every time I read about the mighty miracles that Jesus did, something happens inside of me. It causes my faith to be activated. It just keeps kindling the fire that's been burning in my heart from the moment I got saved. I said I will feed my faith. I will constantly feed my faith. And I'll do everything I can to starve my doubts to death. I don't want any doubt. People do not backslide that read the Bible all the time. Amen. The people that backslide, they got a quarter of an inch of dust on their Bibles. If you read the Bible, I promise you one thing. If you stay in the Bible and you read your Bible and you say, hey, God, what does that mean? Hey, Lord, what happened to that man there? What does that mean to my life? That's how you got to read the Bible. If all you ever do is tell God what you need, all you got is a want list. But if you read your Bible and say, what are you saying to me, Father? And you realize that's your Heavenly Father that's talking through the pages of that book. He'll talk to you. I tell you, he'll correct you. All scriptures given by inspiration of God is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instructions in righteousness, that the man of God may be thoroughly furnished unto all good works. God said, by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourself, is a gift of God. Not of yourself, it's a gift of God. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Everything good in you comes from God. See, when you walk in this faith realm, you place yourself in another world, the world of faith. I was listening to that preacher preaching, and he was saying, why are you getting all mixed up in this political party? I mean, he's in Zambia preaching in this party, and he's naming those political parties out. He said, you're not of this world. He said, "Do go with the party that believes the Bible." Man, when a man of God like myself stands up and preaches that in America, people walk out. They are so politically minded, they cannot be biblically sound. But I'm going to tell you something. What we've got to do is go with what the Word of God says. I don't care who they are or where they come from. I know what it is, you know, to be down and to be out, but I know what it is to put my hand in the hand of God and walk in God's commandments and keep them and watch my faith grow and watch God do great things in my life. So go with what God says, and your life will be a whole lot better off. In Acts chapter 3, Peter and John, they raise a man up, and I want you to look at how they did it. It was by this thing called faith. Look at Acts 3:16. Peter said, "In his name," talking about the name of Jesus, "through faith in his name, hath made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yea, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all." See, this was not the power gift of healing. This was not the power gift of miracles. This was the power gift of faith. A supernatural faith came over that man. But Peter was operating in gifts, too. See, so get in a church where somebody's operating in gifts, and then all of a sudden the power of the Holy Ghost hits you, God will speak to you, and then God will speak to the man or the woman that's praying for you, and all of a sudden you get a miracle, and it all come by faith. I'll never forget some of the things. I can never put this out of my mind. When I'm singing in the choir, minding my own business, Sister Minnie Benson's going blind, and she said, "Pray for me," and they asked me to come up and sing in the choir. So I said, "Okay." And I'm in the middle of the choir singing, and the Holy Ghost says, "Pray for her, and I'll heal her." I said, "I can't pray for her. I'm singing in the choir." He said, pray for her and I'll heal. I said, I can't pray for her right now. I'm singing in the choir. Matter of fact, and then the gift of discerning of spirits kicked in. I said, they're going to call for the sick in a minute. The Holy Ghost said, I won't heal her in a minute. Heal her now if you'll pray for her. And I had to walk across those chairs, everybody looking at me, and the devil said, they already think you're crazy. They know you are now. 500 people in that place, and I walked down to the front row. I said, Sister Benson, God said he'd heal you and heal you now. Will you be healed? She said, yes, I will. It was my prayer. I said, be healed in Jesus' name. The power of God hit her. She started speaking in tongues. I walked back up and got in the choir and finished the song. And guess what? It wasn't on any program, but I discerned it right because the Holy Ghost told me. They called for the sick, and I watched her. She never went up there. I saw her 2 weeks later. I said, why didn't you go when they called for the sick? She said, when you started out of that choir, the Holy Ghost spoke to me. And the Holy Ghost said, when he lays his hands on you, I'm going to heal you. She said, and I was healed as soon as you did. Amen. Hallelujah. She was in her 80s, going blind. But guess what? She died. She still had good eyesight. Matter of fact, she had 20/20 vision with her corrective lens. God is a great God. God is a good God. And God says, I want you to walk by faith, not by sight. If you'll feed your faith will grow. And I'll cause the miraculous to happen in your life. I want everything God paid for. And the way we get it, the currency of heaven is faith. The currency we trade in down here is greenbacks. Amen. I got some in my pocket here. That's the only way you can get anything here on this planet is through greenbacks. Amen. That's how we trade. But you don't buy anything from God. Jesus paid it all. But you got to appropriate the faith to get it. And that's what this lesson is all about. It's about this gift called faith. But Peter said the name, through faith in his name, the name of Jesus, when he heard that name, that name of Jesus, he was healed. See, so that's biblical. Faith is a wonderful thing. Faith can move mountains. Amen. Peter said, this man whom you see, this man whom you know, yea, the faith which is by him, which is by God, hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. Hallelujah. That was the function and the operation of this wonderful thing I'm talking about called faith. So, point number three, let's look at the power of faith. The power of faith. What can faith do? I mean, do you want faith to move a mountain? This right here in my Bible, that is a seed. Brother Baker, take a close shot of that Bible. That's a mustard seed. And the Bible says if you have faith as a grain, now you can barely see that seed. He's not talking about the seed. He's talking about the grain inside of that. If you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed. If you believe in your heart and you don't doubt, he says, and nothing shall be impossible to you. It will move. So what I'm talking about is you've got to believe and keep on believing. Because there's a battle going on in your mind. And you're going to have to decide who you believe. And you're going to have to make up your mind. I believe God, no matter what the circumstances, no matter what the situation, no matter how dark, how dismal. Praise God, I've got faith. I choose to believe my faith. And Father, I believe you are good God. I believe you'll watch over your word and perform it. I believe you'll do this thing. I may not have got it, but faith is coming down the road. Hallelujah. Goodness and mercy, they're following me. They're on my trail. If you haven't got it, just keep on believing. Just keep on asking God. And it will show up in your life. So, the power of faith. First of all, faith is the essential element of salvation. We talked about that. You cannot be saved without believing. And you cannot say, I want to be saved, and then no, but I don't believe. It's impossible. You've got to have this thing I'm talking about. See, the two cannot go together. You must believe in order to be saved. Look at John 3:15. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. So if you believe right, and then you speak right, you get eternal life. And then God wants you to do right. He says, I want you to walk right. He told Abraham, and I've been working this thing because I want you to go read Genesis 12 and 1. He says, get out of that land. Get away from those heathens. Come out from among that devil worship. He was a pagan. He said, and I'll show you into the land I'm going to show you. And that's what God says to the son. He says, come out of that lifestyle. Come into the church. I've got some things I want to show you. I want to teach you. He said, and after I show you, I'll make you. He said, and after I make you, then I'll make you into what I purpose you to be in my kingdom. He said, and after I make you, I'll bless you. He said, and after I bless you, I'll bless you so much, you'll be blessed going out, you'll be blessed coming in, everything you put your hands to, because you're operating in faith, God says, I'll make you a blessing to others. Don't you want to be a blessing? Go on, praise God. Don't you want to be a blessing to your family? Don't you want to be a blessing to your grandchildren? Don't you want to be a blessing to the people next door, to the people on the job, to the people in the marketplace? And when they meet you, they say, "Woo! I feel so much better." You know, some people look better going than they do coming. But I want them, when they walk away from me, say, "Woo, I feel so much better. I've been in touch with that man. Every time I see him, he brings God to me. He brings God's presence. He brings God's anointing. I love to get around that person because there's something supernatural flowing out of them." Hallelujah. You're the light of the world. You're the salt of the earth. Hallelujah. Go and look like it and act like it and praise God. And let's turn this thing around in this nation. Go and praise God. You got faith. Use it. Hallelujah. Amen. Look at Romans 5 and 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So to be justified, justification, it means to be made just as if you had never sinned. Some people say, "I've messed up so bad. I failed here. I failed there." Wouldn't you like for God to just give you a new start and to make you just as if you had never sinned? Well, that's what the Bible does. He says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. So being justified by faith, we have peace with God. So we are justified by faith. And when you get justified by faith, guess what? You get that fruit. Love, joy, peace. See how they flow together? You can't have one without the other. And when you get the knowledge of God within you, then you're sure that you're sure. And you know that you know. And you know God. And God begins to develop his amazing grace inside of your heart and brings peace. Well, we're talking about the power of faith. Faith also gives us access to God. Look at Romans 5 and 2. By whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. So faith gives us access to the throne room of God. It says, by Jesus, by him, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in our time of need. So everything that we obtain from God, it flows out of this river called faith. Hallelujah. God is a great God. Faith gives us access into the grace of God. And whatever we ask of him, we receive it because we keep his commandments and we do those things that are pleasing in his sight. Amen. Another thing that faith does, faith supports our spiritual life. Faith supports your spiritual life. We're talking about a God that faith honors him. Faith is the substance of things. Faith is always now. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And so when you're asking for God for something and you don't see it here, but you know it's in his word, it's in the spirit realm, this thing called faith gives us access. Look at Romans 1:16. The Apostle Paul said, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." And then he says, "For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." The righteousness of God is revealed by faith. You were a sinner. I was a sinner. You said, "I believe Jesus took my sin. I confess him as Lord. I receive him. Thank you, Father, I'm saved." And while the stench of sin was still on your breath, all of a sudden, the righteousness of God struck you, and you were made just as if you had never sinned. You came into a right standing with God, and now you are a new creature. That is the power of this thing called faith. We've been justified by faith, and we're to live by faith. We're to walk by faith, because the righteousness of God is revealed in us as we go from faith to faith. Faith is a wonderful thing. And if you have it, you have it. But you should never cease to grow in faith. Some people have it, and then the next time you see them, they don't have it. See, faith is not stagnant. Faith is not a place where you arrive. Faith is ever moving. Faith is ever increasing. And on this earth that we live on, there is no end to faith. None of us have ever arrived. We must continue to grow in our faith. There is always something more out there in the realm of God's Spirit that we can receive from God. You've heard me say it. The only thing I'm satisfied with in my walk with God is the fact I have never been satisfied. There is so much more to God than any of us have ever obtained. What is the power of faith? What will your faith do? Look at Matthew 21:22. This is what your faith will do. Jesus said, "In all things whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive." Well, most people, they ask in prayer, but then they hit the hard times and then they have a hard time with that word called believing. Some people say, "I prayed, but I didn't get anything." That's because you didn't believe. If you really believe, you will keep on praying. You will keep on asking. You will keep on seeking. You will keep on knocking. There'll be something inside of you, this element called faith, that says, even though I don't have it, a delay is not a denial. I'm going to get it. God said it in His Word, and I'm pressing on toward the upward way. New heights I'm climbing every day. Still praying as I onward bound. Lord, plant my feet on high ground, because I'm headed up into the glory world. I'm not going to stay here with others that want to be earthbound. Adam means earthbound. And when you start moving into this dimension I'm talking about, people will walk off and leave you. They'll say he's crazy. They're a nut. Nobody can get. I've had hundreds of people tell me, "God won't do that." I said, "You go on your faith and I'll go on mine." I just keep on walking down the road, praising God, dancing, shouting, and picking up stuff and getting the blessings all the time. And they still back down wondering how I did it. I did it by faith. I did it because I chose to believe God. And in the face of all adversity, I just find me a place somewhere and say, "God, I believe, I believe, I believe." I remember lying on my back and the devil come to me. My heart had been operated on, and the devil said, you're never getting up from here. I said, "Yes, I am." And this voice come to me said, "A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Let not that man think he shall receive anything of God." I didn't say a word. I knew it was scripture. He come back again. "A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Let not that man think he shall receive anything of God." I kept my mouth shut. Come back a third time. Third time it says, "You're double-minded, and God's not going to heal you." I said, "You lying devil. I recognize your voice now." I said, "God said only believe. All things are possible to him that believe." I'm laying on my back looking at the ceiling. And I looked up to God. I said, "God, I'm just like old brother David. David said, my heart is fixed, oh God, my heart is fixed." And God healed me, and here I am tonight. Have I had any battles since then? You better believe it. I'm standing right here now. You know, I pulled a muscle in my back. I cut my finger. I mean, we're in the world. I need healing all the time. I mean, you know, I say, "God, I wished I didn't," you know. I'll never forget the day I was over at the old church, and the man was working on the air conditioning system, and I turned to walk away from him. And when I did, the light meter was right there, and I didn't see it, and I walked into it, and I said, it knocked me backwards. I said, I said, "Well, you just found out what was inside of me, didn't you?" A woman named Ella Williams. My daddy was driving a nail in the fence. She was not a born-again woman. And my daddy hit his thumb with a hammer, and when he did, he said, "Praise the Lord." And she came, and she said, "I want to know what's inside of a man like that." Hit his thumb with a hammer and say, "Praise the Lord." And the woman come to church and gave her heart to Jesus, became a pillar in the church, and raised boys that were preachers in the church because a man hit his thumb with a hammer. I tell you, God can use anything. And God used that to transform that whole family. God is a great God. Amen. See, God spoke to Moses, and he told him, said, "Lift up the rod and part the sea, Moses." And Moses stood before that sea, and he lifted up the rod, and he commanded that sea to obey him. And it did. When Moses gave the command of faith, that sea had to obey. Well, now people say, well, I don't believe that that really happened. Well, if you don't believe that happened, how can you believe God for a miracle in your home? If you don't believe that happened, how can you believe God for a miracle in your family? How can you believe God for a miracle in your business? How can you believe God for a miracle in your finances if you can't believe that God spoke to a man? I can just see him in my mindset. Old man is half blowing in the breeze and he's got a rod in his hand and everybody in the nation said, look at that fool walking out to the Red Sea with a rod in his hand. Why, you can't command a sea to open with a rod. That rod can't do anything. Well, it might not do anything in your hand, but God says, you take that rod, Moses, and when you walk, that sea's going to part. He walked out there in faith and said, sea open! And when he did, praise God, it did. And the whole nation went across in dry ground because a man had faith. Faith to believe God. Do you have faith to believe God? If God says, go to that place and I'll give you a job. If God says, do this and I'll bless the business. See, God's not going to give it all to you at one time. It's like if it were nighttime and you were coming to church and you were driving your car, as far as you could see would be as far as those headlights would show you. And that's the way it is with God. God's going to show you part of it, but the rest of it you're going to have to get by faith. And see, if you drive in the light of those headlights and you keep coming, you get enough light as you keep going to get all the way to church or wherever you're going. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin and we have fellowship with one another. And God gives us the things he has promised us if we walk in the light of his word. By the way, let me go on and tell you what the key to the blessings of Abraham is. It's obedience. It's obedience. Trust and obey. If you will obey God, God will do some great things in your life. Some people say, well, I don't believe that. Well, you won't get anything from God in. See, to operate in God, we must accept God's word as the absolute truth. What is the power of faith? Another great thing that faith does is faith overcomes the trials and the temptations and the tests of life. Amen. Point number four. Sometimes your faith will be tried. Your faith will be tried. I preached a sermon recently and I used where God puts us in the furnace of affliction. Sometimes people want to blame everything on the devil. But God puts us in the furnace of affliction. He's going to burn off all the things that are unpleasing. And so when you get there in that trial, you say, hey, God, is this you? What are you trying to work in my life? Or is this the devil? If it's the devil, I'm going to work on him quick. But if it's God, then I want to learn, what is it that you want to show me? What is it in my life that you need to burn it off? You need to clean that part of my life out. So don't put everything on the devil. Look at this, though. James 1 and 2. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptation. Next verse. Knowing this, that the trial of your faith worketh patience, steadfastness. Not sarah, whatever it would be. Steadfastness, tenacity. A bulldog bite. I've got this thing, and I'm going to hang on to it. I'm not giving up. Worketh patience. But let patience have a perfect work. Next verse. That you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Hallelujah. So what is the trying of your faith? Your faith is tried when it's put to a test. And then you must believe. And you've got to contend for the faith. Amen. See, the devil would like to rip the faith out of you. But believers, they just contend for the faith. They say, I've got this thing, hallelujah, I'm living in it, I'm walking in it, I'm believing God because I choose to believe. My faith, I do what I want to with it. I don't care what somebody else does with that. I wish they'd use it, but if they don't, I'm going to use mine. And you've got to decide that. It's yours. God gave it to you. Do something with it. Do whatever you want to do with it. Believe God for big things and go after it, hallelujah. Look at Jude 1 and 3. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful. Universal salvation, by the way. Needful for me to write unto you and to exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto you. See, when you are born again, the Bible says you are given the measure of faith. Everybody that is born again, they have the measure of faith. Look at Romans 12 and 3. I've heard this preached wrong all my life until one day the Holy Ghost corrected me. Paul said, I say, through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you. He's talking to the church. He is not talking to sinners. Sinners do not have this godlike faith that I'm talking about. You have to be born again. God has to come inside of you. If you were to read Mark 11, 22, Jesus said, have faith in God. He's saying, have the godlike faith. Well, you can't have that until you're born again. Now look at what Paul said. For I say through the grace given unto to every man that is among you, not to think more highly of himself than he ought, but to think soberly according as God has dealt to every man among you. That's who he's talking about, the Christian. The measure of faith. Every person that's born again, they get the measure. And God says, plant it. Make it grow. Plant it in good soil. And it will bring forth spiritual life. And will bring forth spiritual power. And then he says, contend for this faith. He says, or fight for it. I mean, you just got to go after it. You cannot lay back and just think it's going to be. Everything's going to be all right. No, you've got to use your faith. And if you're not willing to fight, you're not going to get great things from God. Put Ephesians 6, 1, 2. Put Ephesians 6, about 12 up there. Talking about the whole armor of God. Ephesians 6 and 12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against rulers of darkness, against spiritual wickedness in heavenly places, high places. King James, a new version says, in heavenly places. So there's a battle going on. When you got saved, all of a sudden, a battle for your immortal soul began. Before that, you were the devil's property. You were not born again. You were lost, alienated from God. Jesus told a bunch of Pharisees, that religious group, one day, they said, we're our father Abraham. He said, no, you're of your father the devil. And if you've never been born again, guess what? Your spiritual father is the devil. If you've been born again, your spiritual father is God. And once you come into the realm of God, a battle begins. And you're going to have to fight for this faith. You're going to have to contend for this faith. You're going to have to read your Bible. You're going to have to pray, because now you're in a warfare. The devil had you before. He hadn't got you now. And he's trying to get you back. He's trying to do everything he can to pull you back. And that's why this subject is so important, called faith. Amen. See, there are people who had faith 10 years ago, but they don't have it now. They didn't fight for it. They let the devil steal it. They let him take it away. They let him take their goods. I look at the devil like he comes and takes stuff. And he takes them, puts them in his warehouse and got your name on it. And he's got it there. And he'll keep it there unless you go get it. And you do that through prayer. You say, devil, get your hands off my family. In the name of Jesus, by the power of Calvary's blood, get your hands off my children. Get your hands off my finances. Get your hands off of this blessing God has purposed. God spoke to me, and I'm coming against you, and I'm contending for the faith. God delivered it to me. I'm growing in faith. I'm growing in knowledge. And I'm coming out against your kingdom, and I'm going to get everything, because I got the keys of God's kingdom. And whatever I ask in Jesus' name, I receive it. That my joy may be full. You got to learn to talk like that. If you can't talk like that, you won't get much from God. Amen. Hallelujah. See, people say, well, my grandmother was the best Christian I ever knew, and she prayed and she didn't get it. Well, your source is not your grandmother. The source for your faith is Jesus, and he does everything, and he does everything right. Point number five, what are these trials for? Well, they're for growth. Your trials are to help you grow. They're for movement, to help us to mature. The trial is to help us become strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Look at 2 Timothy 4 and 7. Paul said, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I love this. I have kept the faith. Here's a man at the end of his life, and here's his life story, the great Apostle Paul. He said, I have fought a good fight. I have fought a winning fight. He said, I have finished my course. See, millions of people, they get halfway, and that's where they quit. They get halfway there, and they just quit. And the half-hearted, they soon become the faint-hearted. Give God all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength. That's what this thing called faith is all about. So Paul said, I have fought a winning fight, and I have completed the work that God sent me to do. And then he said, I have kept the faith. Wouldn't it be terrible to have all of this that I've been talking about working in your life for part of your life and then not have it at the end of your life? What a tragedy. What a tremendous loss that would be. Paul said, I've kept the faith. He said, I've finished my course. He said, that laid up for me a crown of righteousness. And not only for me, but for all those that believe. He said, I did it and you can do it too in Jesus' name. Some people, every time they hear a sermon, they say, well, I heard that 30 years ago. Well, that's right. And if they'd lived by it, guess what? Their life would be a lot different. But they refuse to use their faith. See, faith is the key to all of these things, the fruit of the Spirit. Love operates by faith. Joy and peace cannot exist without faith. Long-suffering, gentleness, and goodness, they are based on us having faith, being in the faith. Faith is the key to all the fruit of the Spirit. Faith is what pleases God. Hallelujah. Number six, faith grows as we are faithful. We should be punctual. We should be on time when it comes to serving God. Another way faith grows is we take on new responsibilities in the house of God. See, responsibility creates faith, faithfulness. I told you that was where that Greek word, faithfulness, faith came from, that word, faithful. See, responsibility creates faith. So do something that involves a work for Jesus, and guess what? Your faith will grow. It will just automatically grow. And as we grow in God, we grow in faith. Every day, we should grow in faith. And we should be able to say at the end of the day, I have more faith today than I had yesterday. I've been faithful. I've fought a good fight. Hallelujah. I've kept the faith. Here's one of my favorite scriptures, 2 Peter 3:18. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. Grow in God. And if you'll grow in God, you will grow in faith. Put those fruit up, Galatians 5, 22 and 23, please. It said, but the fruit of the Spirit, say it with me. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such, there is no law. Let us stand. God is a great God, and he wants our faith to increase. So we can be more and more like Jesus. Hallelujah. Are possible, yes, Lord. Oh.